Welcome to another podcast from Best Self Magazine, the leading voice for holistic health and conscious living. I'm Krista Noel, editor-in-chief, and this is the place to ignite your mind, body, and spirit with empowering articles read by the authors themselves. I'm so glad you've joined us to take a step towards your best self, to perhaps stretch your thinking further and reach a little higher. Something tells me you're here for a reason, and I'm so grateful for that. So let's get to it.
Hi, my name is Maureen Minahan-Jones. I've been a registered nurse for over 50 years. The first half of my career, I worked in Western medicine in several different departments. And the last 26 years, I've been a modus operandi emotional wellness practitioner, guided imagery practitioner, speaker, and author of Wisdom to Wellness, Healing Your Emotional Sufferings So the Physical Healing Can Follow. My book provides a working model to understand the emotional and psychological determinants that underlie physical ailments. And the creator of the modus operandi technique, I call it the MO technique for short, a powerful tool for reprogramming the subconscious, the superconscious, and the conscious mind for lasting change. Learn more at www.maureenminahanjones.com. My article is titled Unveiling the Hidden Aspects of Lou Gehrig's Disease. Could the mind-body connection be the key to prevent or reverse diseases such as ALS and pave the way for greater wellness? Lou Gehrig's disease, also known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is a progressive neurodegenerative disease affecting the motor neurons in the brain and spinal cord, eventually paralyzing the body. What could be the hidden cause beneath this tragic physical manifestation? As a modus operandi emotional wellness practitioner for the last 26 years, I'm passionate about helping people examine the emotional and the psychological links of the mind-body connection. These connections can be critical to recovery, and often they're not addressed in standard treatment regimens. I've discovered fresh insight into the connection between ALS and feeling unsuccessful that I'm eager to share. It's an example of the missing piece I'm passionate about in my wellness work. The mind-body connection. The mind-body connection refers to the intricate relationship between our thoughts, emotions, and beliefs and our physical body. It's crucial to understanding of wellness because our mental processes directly influence our physical health and vice versa. Our thoughts and feelings can manifest physically through bodily sensations, and physiological changes and physical sensations can impact our mood and emotions. Thus, the mind and body are not separate entities, but rather work together in a complex relationship, often hidden at the subconscious level. Over my career, I have gratefully referred to the book Messages from the Body, The Psychological Meaning by Michael J. Lincoln, PhD. Dr. Lincoln teaches that virtually every disease, illness, or ailment has a psychological origin and a message from your body. In my healing work with clients, I have found Dr. Lincoln's insights to be true. Lou Gehrig was one of the most talented and greatest baseball players of all time. What then does Messages from the Body say about those with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, which results in paralysis? Dr. Lincoln explains, these individuals deny their success and they are totally unwilling to accept their self-worth. Very clearly, especially the mother, conveyed that any form of self-manifestation or success in the world and commitment elsewhere would be committing the ultimate betrayal, and this immobilizes them. This got started at a time when there was no difference between their mother and the universe. So if they recognized their self-worth or sought success, they would be destroying God and all of his creation. So to avoid the ultimate calamity, they sacrificed themselves. The mind-body connection isn't obvious in the case of ALS. It involves how lacking a sense of self-worth and not feeling successful can impact a person's physical well-being. By addressing these emotional aspects, we can find new ways to help heal and offer hope to those with ALS. I believe true recovery involves the body, mind, and emotions, and through this complementary approach, we can achieve a deeper, more lasting recovery. To outsiders, individuals with ALS may appear to be remarkably successful, but internally, they may feel like failures. The discrepancy between outward appearance and inner reality makes the disease difficult to understand. While those who develop ALS tend to appear exceptionally accomplished, they may become successful because they work extraordinarily hard to gain acceptance. They may have been programmed to feel unworthy and lack genuine self-acceptance. Therefore, it's potentially understandable that their muscles and spine, which propel them forward, might deteriorate in response. Terminal stages of Lou Gehrig's result in a total shutdown of the body, reflecting how these individuals might perceive themselves internally and probably subconsciously. Let's see how this hypothesis may have pertained to Lou Gehrig himself. Lou's mother, Christina, was a German immigrant. She had four children, and she lost three of them, with only Lou surviving infancy. The family was deeply hurt by the losses, and Lou became the center of his mother's universe. She wanted to keep him all to herself. She spoiled all his girlfriend relationships, and Lou didn't marry until he turned 30. Conjecture was that no one thought he would ever marry because he was so in love with his mother. Christina worked tirelessly cleaning houses, cooking for the wealthy, and taking in laundry to make ends meet. Lou's dad was in poor health, and he had a hard time finding work. Jonathan Eich, author of Luckiest Man, The Life and Death of Lou Gehrig, wrote that throughout his entire life, Lou was a mama's boy. If there was a hall of fame for mama's boy, he asserted, Gehrig would have been a shoe-in. To Lou, the muscular, unemotional Christina was a heroine. He would ride her when the team went on the road, and when he returned, he would greet her on the train platform with long hugs and tender kisses. Lou worked alongside his mother at a very young age. He didn't have a lot of playtime, but when he did, Lou played baseball, soccer, and football. He loved and lived for sports. Unfortunately, he was programmed early on with comments from his mother such as, sports are a waste of time. In David Adler's book, Lou Gehrig, The Luckiest Man, Adler wrote, Christina, Lou Gehrig's mother, wanted her son to attend college and become an accountant or an engineer. When Lou quit college and signed up with the Yankees, Lou's mother was furious. She was convinced that he was ruining his life. Jonathan Eich relates an incident that clearly demonstrated Lou's deep emotional connection to his mother. In 1927, the Yankees won 110 games, a league record that stood for 27 years. Then they swept the Pittsburgh Pirates in a World Series that Gehrig almost missed because of his devotion to his mother. Christina was gravely ill and needed an operation when the series came along. Lou felt that it was more important to be at her side than with the team. Luckily for the Yankees, however, he was later convinced to play in the series. Although he was known to be ambitious, Lou was shy and insecure. Being a German immigrant, he was frequently ridiculed and felt unworthy because of his lack of social polish. He was always trying his hardest to be accepted, especially by his beloved mother, who could not understand that baseball was his life. To someone who has a deep need for acceptance, negative comments about one's passion, in this case baseball, is understandably devastating. Because these derogatory comments began early on when, as Dr. Lincoln explained, there was no difference between one's mother and the universe, any success would be the ultimate betrayal. Indeed, this subconscious belief may be significant for those with Lou Gehrig's disease. In the book Lou Gehrig Baseball Legends, author Norman L. Mock wrote that Lou was shy and lacked confidence to be a leader. However, he added, in spite of his shyness, Gehrig's batting average was .373, and his league-leading RBIs earned him the America's Most Valuable Player Award. To bring home the point, Mock explained that Lou never got used to his popularity and did not handle it well. To say the least, Lou Gehrig was highly successful, as individuals with Lou Gehrig's disease most often are. But as pointed out, this is the ultimate paradox. Individuals with ALS may appear to have it all, but despite their achievements, they may feel unsuccessful and unworthy internally because of their early programming. So isn't it understandable why eventually the muscles, which move them forward in life, and the backbone, the support system of their body, would deteriorate? The disease trigger, typically an event occurring 6 months to a year before diagnosis, triggers a disease in the body. In Lou's case, his lifelong programming of non-acceptance and his resentment most likely contributed, but what trigger may have led to his disease finally manifesting? In Jonathan Eig's book, Luckiest Man, Eig wrote, in 1938, things were different for Lou Gehrig. Gehrig continued to play miserably, striking out 6 times and accumulating only 4 hits. His fans began mocking him, something they would have never done before. Gehrig was not the sort to let things roll easily off his shoulders. He dropped from 4th to 6th in the lineup. It was reported in the New York Times his batting average was .133, the worst hitter in the American League. In 1938, Gehrig went from all-star player and movie star, playing himself in the movie Rawhide, to the biggest slump of his career. This happened approximately 1 year before Lou Gehrig's diagnosis of ALS. Did this occurrence make Lou Gehrig feel like such a failure that it set off the powerless and anger that made the disease erupt in his body? For those who acquire this disease, control is a major survival tool. When they lose control, such as Lou Gehrig's experience in his slump, the body starts to do the same, lose control. Although this is hypothetical, it's well-reasoned and appears to be true. No remedy has been identified for this disease. It's essential to clarify that Lou did not acquire this disease due to his mother or father. Let's throw all blame out, even blame of ourselves. There can be no blame for subconscious beliefs that we aren't aware of, right? According to psychology, hidden subconscious beliefs can significantly influence our lives. They shape our decisions and perceptions without us realizing it, essentially acting as a powerful force that can rule 95% of our lives if left unexamined. The modus operandi technique enables individuals to observe and replace disempowering subconscious beliefs with empowering ones without blame or judgment. By consistently affirming the new belief for 40 days and actively catching and reversing old beliefs, individuals can rewire their brain for positive change. Symptoms of ALS. ALS usually starts with stiffness and muscle weakness. Stiffness arises from stiff or rigid thinking, according to Dr. Lincoln. And muscle problems indicate dealing with issues and feelings associated with success, confronting unsettling memories, and feeling immobilized. With the modus operandi technique, the issue associated with success could be treated and addressed at the muscle weakness stage. Often one of the first symptoms is tripping frequently. Our feet help us step forward, Dr. Lincoln wrote. A problem with the right foot indicates they have a hard time stepping forward in life. Relationship concerns, they have deep conflicts over how to get life and love support. Dr. Lincoln wrote, the left foot indicates sealed unit. They are handicapped with vulnerability issues, unwillingness to receive support, and refusal to allow themselves to be taken care of by the universe or other people. The right leg indicates an individual is experiencing issues in the realm of love, not enough love, or they are commitment and relationship avoidant as a result of being forever fettered to their mother. They have a hard time standing up for themselves. The left leg, according to Dr. Lincoln, is they are manifesting support issues in the form that they aren't supported. It would be interesting to see if these suppositions rang true for Lou. According to Dr. Lincoln, the right side of the body is the masculine side, which generates power and authority in the world. When a problem lies with the right side, the person has difficulties manifesting his or her power. During Garrick's hitting slump in 1938, was he feeling this way? This disease attacks the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord, possibly from suppressing the unacceptable aspects of themselves and not connecting with their feelings, thus going numb. Because the nerves are vehicles for feeling, non-acceptance programming can cause the nerves themselves to also become numb. Mostly, ALS attacks the spinal cord, which supports the whole body. When individuals have a problem with the spine, they may have been systematically undermined in their confidence. Lou wasn't supported for his passion with sports by either parent. This may have affected his brain and spinal cord. In ALS, paralysis eventually ensues. This may also result from the sufferer's program of being unacceptable and not feeling successful, but is often hidden at the subconscious level. In addition to eventually immobilizing the individuals, ALS can attack the hands, the speech, the swallowing, breathing, and all the voluntary muscles, all related to the lesson of accepting who one is. With this knowledge and information, individuals can start using the modus operandi technique at the symptom stage instead of masking symptoms while the underlying disease continues unabated. The bottom line, for ALS patients, something as simple as picking up a spoon can be a success in the end stages of the disease because the paralysis can prevent this. But what would it feel like if they and every person possessed a profound understanding that they are a success, regardless of the circumstances in their life? Understanding that they are successful can be profoundly empowering and prevent the body from failing. When those with ALS unconditionally accept themselves, recovery most likely follows. By connecting with their true emotions and embracing themselves, the cells in the brain and the spinal column can thrive rather than deteriorate. Imagine the effects of unconditional love and acceptance on our bodies. Lou Gehrig's contribution to life went way beyond being a baseball hero. He introduced us to this disease so that we could learn from it. One of my own life purposes is to use this information to educate others, not only about Lou Gehrig's disease, but about the emotional determinants and psychological root causes of all diseases and disorders. I know at a very deep level that in my lifetime, we will see the prevention and successful treatment of ALS as an accomplished fact, rather than a wishful hope. I want to leave you with this thought. I went to a Tony Robbins seminar when he asked the audience members, what would it take for you to be successful? One man said it would take $1 million, a certain career, certain relationship, and he just went on and on and on. And then he would feel successful. A man in the back of the room was waving his hand, and Tony said, you, in the back of the room waving your hand, what would it take for you to be successful? He said, if I wake up and I'm above ground, I'm successful. I say that mantra every day. Thank you for listening. Much love and blessings to you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Best Self Magazine. For more inspiration and information, please visit bestselfmedia.com.